Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio. Diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. This week, me and Laura talked about traveling and competing or traveling and training. So we just broke down a common thing that we see happen with both of us if we travel, how to handle it, what you should do when you're traveling, and Laura's recent experience from traveling and training and not paying attention to a few signs that she had there. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We just break down a few things that you should do and you shouldn't do. So also, if you guys check out our sponsor, check out 5 Active, best drink on the market. And then also check out our other sponsor, Cyborg Protein. They do a range of different things from WPI all the way through to meal replacements. If you guys check them out, use our discount codes, which are in the show notes. They will get you a cheaper discount on everything. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. I hope everyone enjoyed last week's episode. This is the second one for the year. We are looking forward to the future. So how you been, Laura? How's your day? How's your week? What have you been up to?
I've been good. The week's flown by. It's been nice and busy. Just a normal week seeing clients. This weekend, I've got some girls from the Women's Fitness Academy coming down for another seminar. So this weekend, we're going to be talking about pre and postnatal training. So yeah, just kind of going to go through, hormonal physiological changes with ladies during pregnancy and post-pregnancy, and then just different guidelines and recommendations around their training. So yeah, that should be fun. It's always good to have the girls down and yeah. So it's always, I find it fun and rewarding teaching people. So it should be a fun weekend. Yeah. How's your week been?
Yeah, good. So what do you go through there? Do you go with through what you can do while you're still training and pregnant, or and then after how you get back into training and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of look at the general guidelines and recommendations around training and then just around things that they need to be aware of. Obviously, like with anyone, that there's a lot of individualization to kind of take into consideration, like has the lady trained before, like what was her current training, you know, what's her current symptoms as well, because it's very different if someone has a pretty cruisy pregnancy to if someone's experiencing like lower back pain, cramping.
I've seen people compete while being pregnant. I've seen people train all the way through pregnancy, but then I've seen other people that can't do it. So like you said, it's kind of specific to the person and all that type of stuff. But like, I think there's not that much information. I know there is some stuff out there, but I don't think there's all a wide range of stuff that is available for people to see. And it's cool that you're putting some of that content out so you can help other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always something we could bring up on another podcast anyway. Like it is a very interesting topic.
We did have that potty with Ali as well talking about it. So if anyone wants to go back to that episode with Ali talking about training while being pregnant. So
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like there's so many benefits to training still while pregnant, even if it's just a low or moderate intensity exercise. But yeah, so it should be a fun weekend with the girls. How's your week been?
Yeah, my week's been trying to get back in the process of like normal work. Obviously, I didn't have any time off, but I did minimize my work load and just kept it to doing check-ins each week. Just wanted to hang out with friends, do some stuff, enjoy myself while it was holiday season. And now it's back in, trying to kick the things. And I'm about to put out some new, really cool, I'm excited about like some ebooks and to upscale my YouTube channel with more educational content and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that. There's going to be a heap of stuff dropping in the next 2 weeks or so that I've been working on like the last 2 months. So the ebook will be about bench first, and then there'll be a heap of bench content dropping plus a series on YouTube, which will be great. And then also some snippets and short stuff on social media, which you'll all see. I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, so Zoe's now on, doesn't work for anyone anymore. So she's long now full time for herself. So We're trying to load her up as well with some more clients as well. She's got, can take on some more start, more nutrition clients, and she's actually built a nutrition course. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be great to be able to put that type of stuff out and that avenue where we can educate people as well as coach people and get them prepping. But for me in general, APL have just announced the Zero Pro. So I am like head down, ass up, fucking going for shit, because that's where I'll be going in September, and two of my other athletes. So I've got myself ready for that, just training pretty hard at the moment. Actually, everything's feeling good. I've got no niggles or no problems, but I'm still in volume phase. So everything's, we're not really, we haven't really introduced squats back yet. So it'll be good to see after all the shoulder work we did, how I deal with a bit of low bar, which will be introduced soon. I think this week Will's going to introduce some low bar. So it'd be good to get back under a barbell, because I've been on a safety bar for so long and I fucking hate safety bars. And then when it comes to athletes, I'll be in February, I'll be down in Melbourne, obviously staying with you. So we're, and then Pro Raw as well in March. So I'm 10 weeks out from Pro Raw, which is kind of scary. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, you're going to be competing there, and I've got four, I think, there. So that's going to be exciting and fun. But other than that, everything else is just pretty much cruising along and just chilling, you know, same old shit. I do have another joke for you today, Laura.
Oh, all right.
I looked hard and deep for this one, and I think you'll like it. So if a blackbird has black babies and a bluebird has blue babies, what bird doesn't have babies?
No color bird.
A swallow.
Yeah, I get it.
It almost went over your head.
Alrighty.
Well, there's Matt's joke for the week. Hope you enjoy that one, guys. Pretty lame, but it's funny. So today we're going to slide into a topic based around Laura, her experiences, but it's about traveling and training. So whether you're going to compete when you travel, so for example, a lot of my athletes are going to be traveling to Melbourne for Pro Raw. We want to talk a little bit about like how do you get where you need to go and still be able to move and function properly, especially whether it just be training. Like if you're going on a holiday and you're training and you're doing a lot of sitting down on a plane or, you know, sitting in the car when you're driving, it can be pretty like harsh on your body because you get pretty stiff. So do you want to go into a bit of detail, Laura, and talk about like what you recommend from a physio perspective if you're traveling and doing a lot of sitting when you're going to be training at the same time or competing?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess there's a lot of things to take into consideration with traveling that could affect training. So like you mentioned, you're probably going to be sitting for a longer period of time, like whether it's whether you're driving to a location or whether you're driving to the airport, sitting at the airport waiting on the airplane. Like typically when you're traveling, you're going to be spending a lot more time sitting than usual. Well, for most people, unless you've got a desk job, kind of you're used to that sitting already. But yeah, typically with the traveling, people will be sitting more. So what does that do? That can tighten up our anterior hip. It can also cause a little bit more compression through the spine. So that's something to take into consideration. Also, when flying, the body can hold a little bit of extra inflammation as well. So that's something to consider, like especially if you need to make weight, because people's weight may spike from that inflammation with flying.
What causes the inflammation when you're flying? I've actually never heard that before.
Oh, you haven't heard it? Like Just the change in air pressure, essentially. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that you sometimes like your weight goes up after flying?
No, I never weigh myself really. Just like normally, like unless I'm doing a little cut, which is normally like once a year. So unless I'm coming into competition, I think last competition was the first time I actually had to weigh myself to make sure I was underweight. So
yeah.
So like I might have to do that next time I fly.
And if that's the case and it is quite close to weighing, like there's different things you can kind of implement to like try and keep the effects lower. But yeah, that's something to consider as well. And then also as well with traveling, obviously you're going to be sleeping in a different bed, in a different environment. So yeah, sleep may be not the same, maybe not quite as deep. Yeah. So I guess they're probably the main factors to take into consideration. So more sitting, perhaps some inflammation with flying, and then, yeah, different sleep.
You'd probably look at, so if you're going to go compete, I would say fly down a week prior or a couple of days prior. So once you get off the plane, you can relax, chill, get you used to your sleeping spot, then, you know, get your food back in place, that type of stuff, get some decent sleep, get some good walking in. I think the most underrated thing that people can do when they are like in a non-mobile position, like sitting long days, is walking. I don't think people do enough of it, and what it actually does for the body and how it can help you function better. I know, like, if you go for a walk or something and then you were to go squat or deadlift, you know, you're going to feel so much better because you'll be warmed up and you're functioning better. So I think that, you know, if you got down there a couple of days before, go for a nice little walk or something, get moving, get the body functioning, get the blood flowing instead of all that inflammation and being seated and then sitting around just doing nothing, you know, like, that's one thing. But one thing not to do is to get off the plane and train the next day. Like, you know, I think people do silly things like that, and then that leads to like injuries. So, you know, you obviously, if you don't warm up properly and you go straight into squat bench or deadlift, you could possibly hurt yourself. It's just a matter of like what you're doing right. Some people will get away with it. Don't get me wrong. Like some people get off a plane and they'll be fine, but there'll be other people who get off and they won't get away with it, you know? So you just got to make sure that you're feeling right. And if you feel any type of like tightness or anything like that, just be aware of it. Don't push yourself into heavier weights. Don't push yourself harder if you feel like you need to pull back a little bit. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think everybody is definitely a little bit different. But yeah, it's definitely good to be aware of how travel can affect the body and then modify if you need. And obviously, like, a lot can come into play. Like, if you're doing an overseas trip as well, obviously that's going to be a lot more fatiguing on the body. You probably haven't slept, or depending how long the trip is, yeah, you could have missed some sleep, missed some food, maybe a little bit dehydrated on top of all the sitting and everything as well. But yeah, I definitely agree that walking is one of the most underrated activities. Like, I'll commonly even just recommend or implement walking into people's rehab, like, commonly, like, if they have a lower back or maybe a hip injury. Like, yeah, walking is definitely very beneficial for the body, very underrated for sure.
Especially if you have a seated job all day. Like, if you're sitting down like me, or if you work at a desk job every day and you don't go for your walks, you know, like, I notice if I don't do cardio 3 days a week, I know massive difference. Like, I'll go to my deadlift and squat day and like either I'll feel tight in the hips and I have to do a longer warm up, or I do, if I don't walk as much, I end up with knee pain. So obviously that's a reflection of like the hip being tight, or my ankle, which it's not my ankle, it'd be my hip. So like recently I upped my cardio, but at the same time, I also started doing some pronation drills, which has helped fix it. But not pronation. Fucking sorry. My bad. I can't even remember what they are. I'm talking shit. But yeah, like, I'm doing some drills at the moment. They're helping with the knee pain. But like, I had minimized my cardio coming into my last competition. And then like, I didn't really continue it at the end of the last year because I had a lot going on in my life. And as soon as I started upping my cardio and started walking more and doing more steps, the knee pain started to subside. So I don't necessarily get knee pain when I'm squatting or deadlifting. It is more when I sit down like I am right now and like I have my knee in full extension, it like starts to ache at where the abductor attaches. But then I can stand up and walk and do whatever and it goes away. But it just, to me, it, like, if I do more walking, I find that my whole body functions and moves better. So
Yeah. I think everybody can definitely benefit from some kind of walking, whether they have an injury or not. But yeah, in times of more like prolonged sitting or more sitting than usual, it's definitely a time where we should look at implementing more walking. Yeah.
2023, guys. I have an offer for you guys with coaching. So both myself and Dean have spots available for coaching, and Zoe has spots available for nutrition. We are offering the first 2 weeks for free if you guys sign up this week with coaching to start your new year. If you want to come into the new year stronger, if you want to come into the new year fitter, and you want to come into the new year with some really solid goals, jump on a call with both me, Zoe, or Dean, where we can set goals with you and we can allow a period of time where we can reach those goals. So if you're looking for a coach that's going to drive you forward, get you competing in powerlifting, get you leaner, help you get stronger and better at what you do, myself, Dean, and Zoe are willing and will do this. As you can see the results from our previous clients from 2022, we had world level lifters, we had national level lifters, and we also had over 30 clients placed this year in powerlifting. So if you want to be one of the powerlifters in 2023 that makes this nationals for APL, or you want to compete in another federation where you're going to achieve greatness, get in contact with us today and we're willing to give you the first 2 weeks for free if you sign up in January. So looking forward to hearing from you guys. But yeah, like when it comes to traveling, you know, like it can be super fatiguing sitting on a plane. Like Laura recently flew to Tassie for Chrissy, right? And then do you want to talk a little bit about what happened? Because like I feel like people can learn from this in the sense of like what happened and what you did and what you shouldn't have done and what, you know what I mean? Like, so for example, you flew to Tassie, you came home and you got home late in the morning. Do you want to explain what happened and then go through it all?
Yeah. So I went to Tassie to catch up with the family over Christmas, flew back Boxing Day night. The plane, classic Jetstar, was a little bit delayed. So, yeah, by the time the plane landed, it was just after midnight. By the time I got home, it was probably 1:30. And then, yeah, the next day is my squat day. And I did, yeah, I still had, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours sleep. Obviously, like that's a lot less than what I would usually get. I feel like under 7 isn't very optimal for me. Like I just noticed my like mood, energy, recovery, all of that's, yeah, definitely not as good. But yeah, just being the acute effect, I thought it would be fine. I did feel the body was tight. I felt like the hips, upper back were a little bit tighter than usual, but I did go for a walk beforehand to try and negate those effects. Went into my squat session. So still doing 4x4, had 132.5 in sleeves at the moment. And to be honest, it wasn't like the squats weren't feeling too bad at all, but I did feel in my warm-ups that I was a little bit tighter than usual. And then, yeah, on the last rep of my last set in squats, I did hurt my back a little bit. So, yeah, I guess like when things like this pop up, it is easy to look back and go in hindsight, yeah, okay, I didn't get a very good sleep. I was sitting for longer than usual, especially once the plane was delayed. And then I guess over even the days in Tassie, I did go for some big walks, but then probably also sitting more in between time, like catching up with family, you know, sitting down for lunch, dinner, all the Christmas activities. So yeah, looking back, that would have tightened up things a little bit and then less recovery with sleep. But yeah, anyway, I guess you just learn from these and then you can kind of get stronger anyway. So yeah, I got straight onto the rehab. My coach was very good at helping to modify, like to deload things, but to also add in some supplementary things to keep loading, to keep, yeah, loading the hips, loading the glutes without putting pressure on the back. So essentially we just had one deload week and then things were almost back to normal. But yeah, just did some rehab, did some needles, walking. Yeah, with this injury, like walking really helped it as well. So yeah, got onto all the right things. But yeah, looking back in hindsight, like I'd say traveling was a big predisposing factor for the injury.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, like, I bet as a physio, you kind of like saw the symptoms prior, and some people might not see that, but you saw the symptoms prior to it, but you probably just ignored it a little bit because you really wanted to train. And that's when things can go south as well. So like, it's like sometimes you need to be aware of like your actual self or be a bit more self-aware and understand, like if you had 5 hours sleep, right, and you need 7, should you really be training? 2, you've traveled. So your stress levels would have been a little bit higher that night also because your flight was delayed. You've had to sit in an airport for X amount of time as well on top of that. You've probably not eaten right that night because of the fact that you were at an airport and you're probably eating takeaway because they all have shit food there.
No, I still ate right.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. But this is just putting into assumption if people are at airports, you know, like they're probably likely to eat shit food.
Yeah.
And then also on top of that, like you've probably had a day all day with your family as well. So you've been talking, running around, doing stuff. So by the time you got home, you're probably exhausted. You didn't get your right amount of sleep. Then the next day, I'm guessing you did work. You didn't work or no. You went straight and trained. So did you feel fatigued that day when you walked in the gym?
I wouldn't say fatigued. Like, even though I only had that short of sleep, like the body still didn't feel too bad. I just felt like a little bit generally tight, which I'd been feeling over the last couple of days anyway. And trying to be quiet. I feel like when you train, you're quite aware of your body. So I did know things were tightening up and I'd actually booked in a myo session for that night already just to help. Yeah. Obviously, like I got onto my walking, my activations and all of that. But, I just thought a little bit of manual therapy would help things along a little bit. So, I was quite aware that the body was tightening up. And, I think with injuries as well, it's quite easy to look back and go, normally it's a compound of factors that contribute. So it's easy to look back and go, okay, X, Y, Z probably did contribute. But then also this, I think as well, like every time you get 5 hours sleep, you can't be like, oh, okay, I'm just not going to. Well, personally, so my schedule is kind of like I have certain times in my schedule of a week where I train. And if I don't get that in, I'm going to have to train at like, 5:30 a.m. or like 8 p.m. or something, like just not really.
Some people can't miss training. That's simple as that. Like, so if you do in situations like that, what I would recommend is just minimize your RPE or your numbers. If you're feeling like, if you're feeling 10% less than what you should, minimize 10% of your fucking work. Or, your top set, do you reckon the same thing would have happened if you went 120? You know what I mean? Like, it's at the end of the day, like, this is why I love RPE so much, because, like, a lot of people will argue with me about it. But if you go into the gym and you get an RPE 7, say your RPE 7 normally is like a 130 for 5, right? If you went in there, you've had 5 hours sleep, you've had a stressful day before because of traveling and all that, your RPE still might be 120 for 5, but you're still doing the amount of work that the body should be doing, so it'll account for the same as 130. So if you are going to go in and do those sessions after 6 hours sleep, you know, maybe sometimes you just need to minimize the workload so that you can still get the training session in, but you don't end up in a situation like Laura did.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fine line because I think as well, I think you also don't want to be like precious and be a little bit of a princess and, overanalyzing things and always taking load back a notch as well. Like I think, I think it's good to be very like be aware of your body and aware of the stresses in your life and whatnot that could be impacting training. But I guess there's a fine line in between like being aware of that and then always just kind of like reducing the load because you don't feel 100%. Because in life, like so many things pop up, like we're not always going to feel like how many sessions do you actually feel 100%?
Oh, never. I'll bog it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. So,
I don't feel 100%.
I think so as well. Like in life, other things always pop up. You've got, different stresses outside, life stress, work stress, fatigue build up, other things.
A simple expression of like my own training is like as soon as 4 o'clock hits, like getting from my house to the gym is the hardest thing. Once I get to the gym and I get warmed up, I'm all right. But like fatigue levels after work are always high for me. And it's not because I have a heap of workload, but because 90% of the time I've got to force myself to work to get through, and it ends up making me mentally fatigued, which is completely different. But once I get my body warmed up and moving and things start to feel good, I'm all right. I've tried to minimize using SUPs these days, like stimulants and shit. So just because of like the fact that it just cooks me at night. I can't sleep. So I've stopped using pre-workouts, which is, I'll tell you now, it's fucking really hard. So yeah, like I never go into a session at 100%. I can just say that straight away. So yeah, like, but there is times like last week, right? So I had, obviously I spoke about last week, one of my friends passed away, and there was a few sessions last week where I pulled the weight back because I mentally was just not there. So there'll be times when I've had that last year as well when I was going through what I was going through. But I guess like I wouldn't say that I like it would be from a coach perspective, I would prefer my athlete to pull back the weight than have an injury and then me have to spend like a couple of months rehabbing it with them. So that's just my perspective. But and I know you're probably just like more of a like harder person on yourself when it comes to training, but I used to be that person and I've ended up in the same position where you are as well. So a prime example of that would be last year when you fixed my hips at comp. Like I pushed myself so hard that prep because of getting COVID, and then I literally pushed myself and then I hurt my back 3 weeks out from competition instead of just pulling back and just kind of chilling and just going with the flow. I pushed myself to the maximum limit and I ended up in the same position you are with my lower back being fucked. So, yeah.
I mean, it's good now.
Yeah, I'm all good now. Yeah, like don't get me wrong, I'm fine now. But like I don't – I think like every time now that I feel tight in the hips, I think to myself, do I want to be there or do I want to just do a little bit more warm-ups, make sure I'm feeling right, and then see how I feel at a top of level of weight and push up. And if it feels no good at that weight I was going to do before the next weight, I don't go up. Just because of the fact that I care more about being in this sport long term than I care about hitting a number that I could hit anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You've always got to look at the bigger picture. And, yeah, and even when injuries do pop up, it's like you can it's definitely important to still train in, as we've mentioned before. But obviously sometimes things just have to be modified so you still can keep volume in, you can still load, which will help the body heal. But, yeah, sometimes you just have to modify things. And taking a step back or deloading things for a week, yeah, or a week, 2 weeks, whatever, in the bigger picture is fine rather than pushing things that week after an injury and then hurting it worse, having to have, yeah, a month or two of that reduced volume or load.
To speak about that too, like, and to talk a little bit about, like, when you were saying, do you feel 100%? Obviously, last week I felt like shit for a week. I still trained. I didn't train to my full maximum capacity. Obviously, I deadlifted and squatted to, like, probably about, I did all the numbers on program, but bench I minimized a bit. And then come this week, my coach was like, do you want to deload last week? And I said, no, I just want to do, like, because we were in the middle of a meso, so we're about 4 weeks in. And I said, like, I just want to kind of just go into a new cycle and just minimize the start of the week. So what we did is we went into a new cycle, we pulled back the volume, and we also did squat, bench, and deadlift. And then two bench days and deadlift. And then on my squat day, there was no squats, just accessories. And then this week we introduced like squats. So I've really recuperated from the stress from last week. And now next week, like this week coming, I'm really ready to just go because I'm like refreshed again. So it's just a matter of like communicating with your coach. Also, if you're traveling, talk to your coach about it and see what he can do or she can do to account for the fatigue, the inflammation, all that type of stuff that you're going to go through when you're traveling, and just really communicate with them so that moving forward you can have the best outcome for yourself and you as an athlete. I think that's a good spot to end
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If anyone has any travel coming up, remember to, follow all those different things. So just being aware of your body, trying to get the extra fluid in, looking after your nutrition, not having those takeaway snacks at the airport like Maddie mentioned. But, yeah, and walking as well. So just, looking after your body to make sure you can perform as optimally on the platform, especially if you're traveling for a comp when you're putting all that effort into training.
Thanks, guys. Hope you have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.